You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Happy camper. What's the key to better inventory management? Keep stock solutions from Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Visit Grainger.com/keepstock for more information. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson says he's not surprised his comments about not supporting a Muslim becoming president have turned into such a big story. He also isn't sorry.
I have been a pediatric neurosurgeon. I care about what happens in terms of the quality of life for the next generation. I will continue to fight for that. And if it costs me politically, it does.
Carson tells Fox News, Fox and Friends he had a right to support what he wants to support. He says he wants to support the things that have made the U.S. a great country. Ben Carson says there is a PC culture in our country, and he's willing to fight it.
You know, somebody has to stand up for who we are. America is a very unique place.
Ben Carson says he's still standing by his comments.
I never said that a person could not run for office. I just said I wouldn't support them.
Okay. All right, did you hear the one about the Pope? No, I'm kidding. No, actually, I'm serious. Pope Francis wants people to send him jokes. The Pontifical Mission Societies has created a campaign for people to send jokes that will be judged by a panel, including actor-comedian Bill Murray. The winner's joke will have $10,000 donated to one of three causes. The winner will also enjoy the title Honorary Comedic Advisor to the Pope. Now, a number of celebrities have already submitted jokes, including TV host Conan O'Brien, whose entry was this. Okay, the California drought is so bad, people in Napa are asking the Pope to change the wine into water. The contest deadline is October 2nd, and you can submit a joke in writing or on video to jokewiththepope.org. I'm Ron Taylor.
And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Modern Design. Today, I have some interesting guests. I have two gentlemen here from Johnson Hardwood, and we're going to talk about wood, but we're not going to talk about wood necessarily in the traditional way. We're going to talk about hardwood on your walls, something else, too, that's trending with modern design. But let's start by talking about what's going to go on today with the weather, because it seems absolutely beautiful. It looks like we're at fair skies, at least the National Weather Service is telling me that we have fair skies this morning, 60 degrees. Today it's going to be sunny with a high of 78, much more like summer than fall, I think. Tonight it's going to be clear with a low of 50 degrees. On Thursday it's going to be sunny with a high of 78. On Thursday night there's going to be a low of 57, so it's going to be quite mild. On Friday, partly sunny with a high of 73. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 52. And it looks through the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, both two sunny days, around 72 degrees. Well, good morning and welcome to Modern Design. I'd like to introduce my guests today, or have them introduce themselves. They're from a company called Johnson Hardwood, and I've recently discovered them through some of the work that I do. They have beautiful hardwood flooring, but one of the products that I want to initially talk about is putting wood on your walls, something different to do. But I'd like you to both introduce yourselves, and I'll start with you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Bill Schollmeyer with Johnson Hardwood Floors.
Okay, and good morning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Amiano. I'm with Johnson Hardwood Floors, the commercial specialist.
Okay, then gentlemen, why don't you tell us a little bit about your company?
Sure, I'll start, Rich. Johnson is a manufacturer of hardwood floors. And we're based in California with warehouses and offices in Texas and a warehouse in Pennsylvania as well. We manufacture our products fully from raw material right down to the finished product in the boxes. We market through distributors and through dealers throughout the country.
Okay.
And all of our products are pre-finished, both flooring as well as our wall panel systems we're here to talk about today.
Right. You know, it's funny. It's been sort of on trend that people like to put in unfinished hardwood floors, but I've never been such a fan of that, because flooring to me and staining flooring and finishing flooring is not an exact science. I always attribute it to someone like coloring their hair. And I said, you know, when you color your hair, there's porosity, just like there is with flooring. You don't exactly know what you're going to get. But when you have a product that you're purchasing that's already been factory finished, you know what the result is going to be. If you buy unfinished flooring and then you have it stained in place, you know, you might not get the result that you think you're getting. Is that in fact true?
Oh, that's exactly true. You know, years ago when it was strictly oak and maybe maple flooring and they were just natural finishes or a gunstock type stain, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right, but now there's so much, isn't there?
Yes, exactly. With different stains, different textures, at least with pre-finished, when it comes out of the box, if you, for some reason, don't like that piece, you don't install it.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. You know, I think it's an exciting time for flooring. We're talking about flooring right now, but for flooring in particular, because I don't think there's been a time, well, maybe a long time ago, but in recent years, there's been a time where hardwood floor is more in style, don't you think?
It's had a resurgence in the last couple of years, definitely.
And what do you think that is?
It's, you know, I think people are more back into a natural type mindset where they view wood as a natural product as compared to carpeting or vinyl.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people and allergies and things of that nature.
Sure.
You know, when I got into this business 18 years ago, I saw a lot of carpet. And that was the standard even in high-end homes. You know, if you had hardwood floors on the first floor, you know, you were kind of lucky. Or just maybe even in the front of the house. I could say maybe that, like, the formal rooms in the front of the house were hardwood, and then the back was always something else, and then upstairs was definitely wall-to-wall carpeting. But as I went on in my career, more and more hardwood floors became the standard. And then it was hardwood floors on the first floor, second floor carpeting. But people realize, especially with young children, with allergies, with dust mites, with problems, and so on, that carpet isn't always the best choice. And the problem also with carpet is it has a short shelf life. And if you have children and pets and so on, you know, it besides staining, it wears out. You don't necessarily have that with hardwood floors. And, you know, I don't have to tell you guys necessarily the merits, but for our listeners, what are some of the merits do you think of having hardwood floors over other surfaces?
Well, I think probably one of the key merits, aside from, like you say, the lack of allergy issues with dust and dust mites, aside from that, I think there's a perceived value with hardwood where it's considered to be a lifetime floor as compared to a floor covering.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest things there. It's a lifetime floor as compared to a floor covering.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just think in general, I'm seeing a big change in as far as fashion is concerned with wood in general and hardwood floors. Natural elements happen to be very in right now, as you had hit upon, mm-hmm. whether it be flooring or wall coverings. We're seeing a lot of grass paper again. We're seeing a lot of natural elements. Bark, wood on the walls. People are liking that. So I think that tends to be, you know, for my listeners, it's sort of a thing that's on trend right now. But, you know, hardwood floors have always been around and they'll always be around.
Sure.
Talk about colors, things that you're seeing, new trends. What are you seeing out there as far as finishes with floors? When I got into the industry, when people did have hardwood floors, we were back in the day, we were seeing a lot of Brazilian cherry, mm-hmm. a lot of floors that were very shiny looking. And again, I see a range of colors now, and I'm seeing the new graying, I say, of our country with a lot of floors that have gray sort of mixed into them now, and definitely much more of a matte finish. I'm seeing wider boards. I'm seeing a lot of trends. Tell me what you guys are seeing.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned you've been in the flooring business for a number of years, design business for a number of years.
Right.
I started 25 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started, when pre-finished floors really came in about 20 years ago, the whites, the beachy kind of buff whites
were big. Before then was what do they call it? The pickled finishes, right?
Pickled finishes. Pickles started with unfinished.
Yes.
And it went to pre-finished.
It came in a little bit after that,
With a little pinkish tint to it. And it kind of went that route for a while. And then back a good 10 to 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, let's say, the exotics, the shiny, glossy, smooth Brazilian cherries,
right.
and Santos mahoganies
were real
big.
Right.
And then it went, I guess, give or take, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, blacks, dark
right.
browns and blacks.
Right, ebony stains, right.
And at about the same time, hand-scraped and textured floors got real popular.
Right.
And now, color-wise, it's like you say, it's trending more to, well, earthy tones, browns, and browns and grays, I guess, would be the most common
now
at this
point. I think, to be honest with you, and what I'm starting to see, I don't think floors are going to be light, but I think the dark, prominent, you're going to see a blend. I think some people are going to like dark and some people are going to light. And I'm starting to see the younger people, 20-somethings, don't necessarily want such dark hardwood floors. I'm seeing a trend towards maybe lighter or more unnatural looking floors also. So I'm wondering if you're starting to see that as well.
Well, you would see it from the design perspective. We see it from the sales perspective.
Right,
and
right.
From the sales end, the real, real dark floors have definitely dropped off sales-wise.
Right.
And I think it's a matter of...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think they're going anywhere, but I'm starting to see, I think, it just sort of a shift a little bit.
Exactly.
But I think that's the nature of fashion, and you know that's what keeps us all in business. If we did our job very well the first time, as we do, and then styles never change, we'd be out of business. We'd be doing something else.
Exactly.
Or we'd be retiring early. But because you know, life evolves and changes, and fashion changes, people are always going to want the latest thing.
Sure.
What about the width of boards? That's changed significantly from when I started. What was standard? What was and what's in now? And I can't say definitively, you know, I would just generally say to people if they ask me as a designer that I like wider boards, but there's such a variation now. Sometimes there's even floors that have a variety of board sizes within a floor. Yeah. So what's out there? I mean, are people still doing, you know, 2.5 inch? It's small. I mean, what's out there?
Well, for us, and really for what I see in the industry, wide is better.
Wider
people
is
love
better.
Wide.
Right.
Our signature floors, our English Pub series, it's 7.5 inches wide.
That's wide.
7.5 wide, mostly right. 7 feet long planks, and that's big. But side note to that is we have a 3-width line, multiple
okay.
width,
right.
and it's a 4, 6, 7.5 inch combination. That's a big seller as well.
Right.
But still, it tends to go to the wider format.
Right, right.
Yep.
And is there a practical application to that because you have less grooves, less cleaning, less terms? Does that follow suit or not necessarily?
Not really. It's just more just appearance. The installers, of course, like a wider floor. It goes down
it's easier
quicker,
for
easier.
Them, right?
Yep.
And the other thing is with the hardwood floors and having the wider boards, is there a sort of an unspoken rule that if you have a room that's a certain width or a certain size, it should be in proportion. So in other words, if you have a tiny room, should you not use the 7-inch wide board?
I think that was a perception years ago, but it's gone. It's changed.
Yeah, you know, yep. I see that with tile too. In the beginning, I would go into someone's home and I'd be redoing their bathroom and they would have these, you know, ridiculously small, you know, tiles,
mosaics,
the 1x1s on the floor. And I said, no, what? Let's do a wider tile to make it look bigger. No, you can't in that tiny bathroom. You know, put a, you know, a tile that's, you know, I don't know, 18 by 18. I'm like,
right.
No, you can. So I think the same thing would follow suit for flooring as well.
Sure, sure.
Okay. Well, we're just about to come up to our first set of commercials, and we'll be back with more of Modern Design.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And And we are back with Modern Design. If you're just tuning into my show for the first time today, we started our show in January of this year. We've had such a nice following, so I thank you for my listeners to keep tuning in and spreading the word on Modern Design. We're on every Wednesday from 10 to 11, and we do a second, more interactive show on Wednesdays at 2 to 3. And I'd love you to call in with your questions, your perceptions, your ideas. Helps me and helps our listeners a lot. For this afternoon from 2 to 3, if you want to call, the phone number will be 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. Today on Modern Design, I have two wonderful and gracious gentlemen from Johnson Hardwoods, and we're talking about all things, I can't say flooring, all things wood, actually, because we've been talking about hardwood floors and what's trending in hardwood floors. I talk about that a lot on my programs, how we're seeing more and more hardwood floors, both from a practical and an aesthetic standpoint. But also we're going to talk about, in this segment, using wood in a different way, using wood on your walls. And gone are the days of the 1970s kind of yucky paneling, but actually attractive real wood on the walls and done in a different way. So I'm going to turn it back to you guys, and this is a product that I really wasn't too familiar with. I am seeing when I go to trade shows, I am seeing when I go to commercial spaces, I'm noticing. I'm a big fan of just, walking. I'm a big walker, and I like to look. And if I go into the city, I bring my phone with me, which I call a camera now, more than a phone. And if I see something that I like commercially, I always take pictures of it, and I bring back and I think, well, how can I use that in a residential application? Let's think outside of the box. And I have been noticing in retail spaces, in hotel lobbies, I'm seeing a trend towards wood, natural woods, things done, on walls again, but in a very different application. So I do some consulting for Riccardi Brothers a couple of days a week. And recently in our design center, your product was brought to our attention. So let's talk about wood on the walls. Let's talk about how it came to be, what it's all about, and maybe some good applications for it. And maybe if we have a client that has a new construction home, or they are moving into maybe a condo or a townhouse that doesn't have a fireplace or a lot of architecture, how they could put some wood on the wall to create some visual interest.
Sure. Well, over the past couple of years, which we've heard from customers who have put wood flooring on the walls.
Okay.
Wood flooring, actually, on the walls.
Not this application.
Correct.
Actual wood flooring.
True wood flooring.
How did that work out?
Well, some have varied the species, some have varied the colors, but the one thing, and they would send us pictures, and it looked beautiful, but the one thing that they kind of lacked was depth, because they were all the same thickness.
Right.
It looked almost like paneling of years back, going horizontally compared to vertically.
Right.
And we kept thinking, boy, if you could do something three-dimensional to give us some depth, that would be the key. And that's what kind of got our thought process going for this Rolock process.
Right.
To come up with a three-dimensional floor wall, I should say.
Right.
Wood wall that
has some depth and a variety of sizes.
Sizes, textures, shapes, the whole thing.
Depths, yeah, I guess, would be probably the better thing to say.
Correct.
So when did you launch the product, and how long has the product been out there?
Well, we previewed the product at an industry trade show in late January this past year, this current year, 2015.
Okay.
And previewed it, and the feedback we got was incredible.
Sure. I think people are always looking for the next trend, the next thing, what's new, because we all have four walls, we all live in boxes, and you want to sort of make your box be the most special, and it's something to bring to the table that's different and new.
Exactly. So we previewed it at the trade show, and based on customer feedback from the trade show, we tweaked the colors, tweaked the species, and finally, really, just in the last month or so, have actually launched the product to our customer base.
Now, is more of your customer base at this time commercial as opposed to residential? I would think maybe it would be, at least at this point.
Our direct customer base really is more residentially oriented dealers.
Okay.
Okay. So that's more common for us, but we do a lot of commercial work as well.
Okay. What do you think in the residential market, what would be a good application? What would be a good, if someone's considering saying, that's something that I'd like to try, where would you see wood on the walls? I would imagine you wouldn't want to do them anywhere you have water, so probably a kitchen or a bathroom would not be a good application for this product.
Correct. I think the most common, most applicable application would be a feature wall within a room of some sort.
I go into a lot of condos and townhouse developments or homes, tract homes that were built, and not everybody has a fireplace. I'm always thinking that, as a focal wall, let's say that doesn't have a fireplace, this might be a nice application. Also someplace where you have height, if you have a two-story ceiling perhaps, maybe a feature wall when you come in, if you have a two-story foyer going up the wall, Tell me some of the applications that you guys have seen.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because the product comes two ways. It comes in a linear pattern,
okay,
a linear look, with pieces that range from probably about 6 inches long to 12 inches long.
It's a shame we're going to be adding YouTube to our, which we haven't quite got down in the studio, because these are temporary studios. We are going to have permanent studios. But we are going to add YouTube, so I'm going to have to ask you to come back as guests again so we can actually show people. It's kind of hard to talk about the product.
Well, if you visualize a linear look or a square or diamond type look. But what's kind of neat with a linear look, again, on the feature wall, if it's installed horizontally, it tends to bring down a shorter, less high wall. It tends to bring it down in terms of height.
Right.
Whereas if you've got a taller wall, it tends to bring it down. If you have a real high wall and you want to kind of minimize the height, you go left to right. If you want to bring the wall up, you go north to south,
right,
vertically, and it gives a real nice look.
Right, right. And really also does something different. A couple of questions that I have for you is, and we talked about this, I believe, with you a little bit when you had come to my showroom, if someone wanted to use this product, does it have a finished edge? How would that work? I'm sort of equating it to like tile. And lately, for example, I'm doing a contemporary kitchen today, and I'm meeting with a woman this afternoon, and we're doing a backsplash where we're taking the backsplash around the window and up the walls. So I have to make sure that I have enough bullnose and bullnose edges so that I have a nice finished edge.
Yep.
How does that work with wood on the wall?
Well, the neat thing about this is because of the varying depth, the varying thicknesses, you can't really use a bullnose or reducer because you have gaps.
Right.
So we have a square four edge profile, which is nominally 3/4 inch thick by about 2.5 inches wide.
Okay.
Color coordinated.
Okay.
And there's 10 colors within this line, and there are 5 or 6 colors of molding within this line.
So all pre-finished, so they'll work, they'll match.
Correct. Okay. And the idea is you could either try to blend it to the wall panel color or contrast it 180 degrees away from it.
Right.
And
right.
give it an accent stripe.
What do you think looks better, actually?
It depends upon the actual SKU. I happen to like the contrasting.
Personally. Okay.
It kind of sets it off, but also depends upon where it's being installed.
Right.
If you want to make the wall pop, you know, the different trim would look better.
Right.
If you want to kind of mute it out, the consistent color would be better.
You know, when I first saw the product, I liked the linear product better. But when I look at the other product, I always think there must be a neat application. I always like to think outside the box and do things that I'm not comfortable with, because I think that makes me better as a designer, because you open up your range, because everybody you're dealing with has a different frame of reference and have different ideas, and you want to make sure that you appeal to everybody that you're working with. So what are some of the applications of the other product, the product that isn't so linear? Where have you seen that done? Or I'm trying to think of how I would do that.
Well, it's funny you say, because me personally, I prefer the linear look as well.
Okay.
However, at the
I think
shows,
it's just more on trend, because tile is going that direction.
Yeah. But as we've shown this at the trade shows, we've got a lot of feedback, positive feedback on the square or diamond look as well.
Right.
So it seems like more the log cabin-y, ski lodge, ski chalet type real rustic look would be more suitable to the diamond or the square look.
Right.
Whereas a more contemporary would be suited to the linear look.
I don't know. I kind of feel from the square look. First of all, when I think of wood, I think almost it reminds me a little bit of like parquet, if you will.
Right.
And then the other thing is, I thought what I'm having some of the 20-somethings are really going back and they're, you know, they want to be in these established neighborhoods. So they're buying 1950s and 60s houses. And a lot of them are buying as their first house a split level. And they want to make their split level not 60s modern. They want to make it 2015 modern. And they want to go back to a 50s, 60s look. So I'm thinking as an application, maybe in an entryway, that look almost has a 19 sort of 50s or sort of retro look to it, or could. I don't know if that would be a good application, but I think that might have that sort of a look. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I would agree for sure. You know, other applications we've seen, aside from residential, we've seen a lot of commercial interest as well.
Oh, yeah.
And commercial interest, there is a hotel chain looking at it for the wall behind the bed.
Really
cool. In all the hotel rooms. It just looked really nice.
Now, would they do that to create sort of the look of a headboard, or would it go from wall to ceiling?
Floor to ceiling.
Okay.
Floor to ceiling, left
floor
to right.
Floor to ceiling, right.
Yep.
Yeah, so that seems like it would be a great application also. I also could see the products as sort of a backdrop for any either like maybe a hotel lobby as a backdrop, and then you'd put a logo behind it. Or also, I do about 25% of my business is commercial, and I do a lot of doctor's offices. I do a lot of dentist offices. I do a lot of just offices in general. And I could see that as the, you know, have a reception desk and have that be the backdrop.
Yep.
How hard is it, because you have varying depths, is it to maybe to be able to put a logo or to put lettering on that?
You probably couldn't letter directly on there, but you could have
like a placard
yes.
or something.
You could hang a plaque anywhere onto there, because the depth, the variation of the depth is only plus or minus about a quarter of an inch.
Right.
So it's not that extreme.
Right, right. But just to sort of anchor it, because I'm actually already thinking, where could I use this? I do like to do that. I do a lot of social media, and in our afternoon show, Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas, I feed from Twitter, from Facebook, from all the different avenues of social media, and I do publish a blog called what's my blog called? I do publish a blog called The Color Guru, and I always like to when I see something fresh or different, I like to photograph it and say, here's something new. So I'm dying to use your product. And get it out there and bring something else to the table.
Well, our website is johnsonhardwood.com.
My next question.
How can
my listeners reach you? Okay.
Yeah, johnsonhardwood.com. And on there, there are a couple of room scene pictures already of the Rolock. And
okay,
as we
great.
Get this, because again, this is only launched about a month ago or so.
Okay.
So as we get more job pictures in from different residential or commercial applications, we'll post them on our website also.
Terrific, terrific. Yep. And I'm going to copy them if I can and put
Absolutely.
Them on my website and see how that goes. You know, we are somewhat 100-centric because the show, emanates from Flemington, but we have listeners all over the world, to be honest with you, because we are web-based. So I recently got a fan letter for somebody in Australia that wants me to be on their show, although I don't think they're going to play for plane tickets. But in the tri-state area, what retailers carry their products? So if someone listens to our show today and like to go and take a physical look at it and touch it, where can they go?
Sure. Well, best bet, because this is, again, brand new to us in this market.
Right.
At this point, the best bet would be to go onto our website.
To the website to start, because it's new.
And there's a dealer locator on
there.
And click on a dealer locator. And that would be the simplest way to find one in your area.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. When you see 2016 coming around, going back to the wood floors and also the wood on the walls, what do you see coming next? I'm sure there's always meetings of what we're going to do next. What are the runs going to be like? What are we going to, you know, what's going to be reinvented? Because our listeners are always hungry for what's next.
If we knew that, we'd be a wealthy, wealthy company. But in all seriousness,
I would say, where do you guys go to? Like, you know, I'm sort of a restless person. So what I do at night is I'll bring a stack of my, even when I'm watching television, because lately there's nothing good on television, I'll bring trade magazines with me and I'll just flip through them and cut and clip, and or I'll go on to the web and I'll just look at what's next. Because you always want to make sure with what you do, you're at the cutting edge, you're on top.
Right.
What do you guys feel is coming? You must have some sort of a feel
for what's
trending.
Yeah, we definitely do. What has been real popular for the last several years has been very rustically hand scraped material.
Right.
And we're seeing a softening of that trend. So our newest couple of product lines are still somewhat scraped, somewhat wire brushed, just
but not
a little
as much.
Bit of softer look.
I have to tell you, hand scraped has been around, but not for a long time, but it's been around for long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm starting to see with people is as when they're purchasing and they inherit hand scraped, some of the, not your company, but some of the early on hand scraped almost looked a little contrived, could I say? Can you understand?
Sure.
It didn't look natural hand scraped, it looked artificial hand scraped. And have you had you seen that out there?
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, the term hand scraped is kind of a generic term.
It probably wasn't hand at all. It was machine scraped.
It was machine scraped.
And it didn't have enough, I think, variety.
Correct.
No? Okay.
And the initial so-called hand scraped in this country was done mechanically with a big mechanical wheel that would roll over the boards.
Right, right.
And that was a very regular pattern. And you contrast that with, what we do is true hand scraping. And it's very random. But again, the look is softening now somewhat. But again, it's regional.
I agree.
It depends where you are regionally.
I agree.
What
I
the
agree.
Look is.
All right. We are going to ask you to stay with us. We are going to news now. We come back, we'll talk more with my guest today, talking about all things wood, flooring, and flooring on the walls. We'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. Pope Francis is in the United States. A red carpet was rolled out before the pontiff emerged from his plane for an official welcome from President Obama. The presidential entourage included First Lady Michelle Obama, the Obamas' two daughters, Vice President Joe Biden, and his wife Jill. It is the first time Francis has set foot on American soil. Over the next several days, the Pope has a packed schedule of events in Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. Reaction is pouring in following the death of Yankees great Yogi Berra. He died of natural causes last night at the age of 90 at his New Jersey home. The Yankees tweeted that they are, quote, deeply saddened by the loss of a Yankees legend and American hero. His family released a statement on the loss of their father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, saying, "We celebrate his remarkable life and are thankful he meant so much to so many." Baseball legend and American icon Yogi Berra, dead at the age of 90. This is USA Headline News.
Tonight on NBC, it's the two-hour SVU premiere America will be talking about.
Gung, gung. In classic SVU style, it's ripped from the headlines.
Exactly. A wealthy New Yorker that everyone suspects is a serial killer, but can they prove it?
I bet they can. Gung, gung.
But first, it's the season premiere of The Mysteries of Laura with Deborah Messing.
Gung, gung. Sorry, wrong show.
You're out of control. The premiere of The Mysteries of Laura, followed by the two-hour premiere of SVU, tonight on NBC.
Oh, there's one more thing.
What?
Gung, gung.
Hey, neighbor, it's me, that guy two desks away that never takes a sick day. Seriously, you could always count on me to show up, even if I feel terrible. Which reminds me, I have the flu, and if you're one of the 63% of people that didn't get their flu shot, you can get it from me. You really should get a flu shot at Rite Aid, where you'll also get a free cold and flu protection plan to protect you from people like me. Another reason Rite Aid says with us, it's personal.
Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
Two police officers in North Las Vegas are recovering from injuries they suffered during a deadly SWAT team standoff. North Las Vegas Police Officer Aaron Petty says they're still trying to gather information about the incident.
There weren't any other injuries reported to any other family members or persons that were inside the residence. We do know that investigators are speaking with them at this time, so we can try to find out the details of what happened inside.
Authorities went to the 100 block of Spur Ranch Avenue last night for a domestic incident that escalated once police arrived. Two officers were shot during an exchange of gunfire with a suspect. Lieutenant Tim Bedwell with the North Las Vegas Police Department says the officers are expected to be okay.
When I went in with the officers as they arrived here, I can tell you that UMC staff was right there on the spot to accept them.
A federal judge says a big publishing company does not own the rights to the song Happy Birthday to You. Warner Chappelle Music says it owns the song since it bought the publishing group that had the copyright for it. Now a judge has ruled that the publishing group had a copyright only over arrangement of the song and not the lyrics. This is USA Headline News.
Inventory is everything. Product sitting on shelves is money sitting on shelves. Managing our inventory is key. That's why I use KeepStock Solutions from Grainger. KeepStock Solutions help keep just the right amount of inventory on hand. KeepStock Solutions help keep the cost down. KeepStock Solutions keep me a happy camper. What's the key to better inventory management? KeepStock Solutions from Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock for more information. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson says he's not surprised his comments about not supporting a Muslim becoming president have turned into such a big story. He also isn't sorry.
I have been a pediatric neurosurgeon. I care about what happens in terms of the quality of life for the next generation. I will continue to fight for that. And if it costs me politically, it does.
Carson tells Fox News' Fox and Friends he had a right to support what he wants to support. He says he wants to support the things that have made the U.S. a great country. Ben Carson says there is a PC culture in our country, and he's willing to fight it.
You know, somebody has to stand up for who we are. America is a very unique place.
Ben Carson says he's still standing by his comments.
I never said that a person could not run for office. I just said I wouldn't support them.
Okay. All right, did you hear the one about the Pope? No, I'm kidding. No, actually, I'm serious. Pope Francis wants people to send him jokes.
The Pontifical Mission Societies has created a campaign for people to send jokes that will be judged by a panel including actor-comedian Bill Murray. The winner's joke will have $10,000 donated to one of three causes. The winner will also enjoy the title Honorary Comedic Advisor to the Pope. Now, a number of celebrities have already submitted jokes, including TV host Conan O'Brien, whose entry was this. All right, the California drought is so bad, people in Napa are asking the Pope to change the wine into water. The contest deadline is October 2nd, and you can submit a joke in writing or on video to jokewiththepope.org. I'm Ron Taylor.
We are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I've been an interior designer for 18 years now, so it's getting harder to lie about my age. And if you want to come visit me, I am conveniently located right here in Flemington at 1 U.S. Highway 31, Flemington, New Jersey. For those of you who have been around for a long time, I'm in the former Lennox location. That was the Lennox store for a long time. I'm in the Kitchen Expo Plaza with Ideal Tile on the end. So come in and check us out. We have a 2,500 square foot showroom. I share my space with John McLean from Rugs to Riches. We do have everything from accessories, decorative art items. I have two different local artists I'm featuring. So if you're looking for a piece of art, it's great. Gift items, small pieces of furniture, and of course, all sorts of rugs and area rugs for your place and broadloom carpeting. But my guests today are representing what I'm seeing more and more of in the industry, and that is hardwood floors and now hardwood on the walls. Their company is called Johnson Hardwood. And again, if our listeners are just tuning in and they want to learn more about your company, Johnson Hardwood, why don't you give us the website and how they can get more information?
Sure. The website is johnsonhardwood.com. And on the website, obviously, the products are on there as well as a dealer locator to help determine where to buy the product.
Exactly. Terrific. And I would imagine through the tri-state area, there are multiple locations
Correct.
That I can get that.
Yep.
Okay. When we were on commercial break, when you guys were all listening to the news, we were talking about the process of starting from a tree that's growing in the forest to the finished floor that you have on. And I think it's very interesting for people to how things are made. You see that these we're going more towards documentaries and reality TV, and people want to know, you know, people are curious, like, how did that carpet get there? How did that paint get on the walls? Tell us the process from you know, origin to completion. How does that kind of work with wood on the floor?
Sure. Well, I think the one key thing to realize is production of hardwood flooring comes from the fact that it's a natural product. So yield and grade are the big things.
Okay.
In other words, the lumber is harvested here. We use a variety of species, oak, okay. hickory, walnut, cherry, Brazilian cherry.
Can I stop you there? Because
sure.
I'm always very interested, and there's so much misnomers about what type of wood is the best wood for a floor, what's softer, what's harder. Can we sort of break that down a little bit?
Sure.
Am I really picking at you there with that?
If you use oak as a standard, whether it's red oak or white oak, the oak floors we all grew up on,
right?
If that's the standard, they're softer and it's harder.
Okay.
And typically speaking, the exotics from South America are harder. The pines, the birches.
I would think that would be softer, right?
Correct. Correct.
In terms of wood in general for floors, I think I'm starting to see more of a trend of oak coming back for floors.
That's correct.
You know, oak for a while was a very bad word. You know, it was everybody in the 80s wanted oak. Oh my God, I have oak. I'm rich. I have oak. And everybody oaked everything. And then I had to de-oak everything because because oak is very specific and very grainy, but it's a good hardwood.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing oak, a resurgence of oak, specifically in flooring. Now, what's the difference between white oak and red oak? Because that's coming up a lot with me. People asking me questions, and I'm like, well, I'm going to ask the guys from Johnson Hardwood.
Well, obviously, it's a slightly different species.
Right.
Slightly different color.
Right.
Whereas the natural form, the red oak has a pinkish tint to it, whereas the natural state, the white oak is just more of a whiter, blander, grayish tone, I guess.
And just from thinking about it logically, so when you apply stain to red oak versus white oak, are you going to get have a different result?
Not really. In certain colors, you might need a red oak to get certain colors, but for the most part, once it's stained, you can't tell white oak from red oak.
So it's about the same.
Yeah,
and
correct.
Then in terms of their hardness, are they about equal?
Virtually about the same as well.
Okay.
Exactly.
So the hardest of woods would be what?
Would be, of common woods, would be the South American species, Santos mahogany or
Santos
Brazilian cherry.
Okay.
And the softest would be your American cherries, your pines, maybe your birches.
I just refinished a deck for clients of mine in Far Hills, and they put in a Ipe,
correct.
Are you familiar with that
sure,
word?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Ipe is a South American species.
So very hard.
Generically called Brazilian walnut, but yeah, very hard.
Is there a specific reason why, I mean, how they're grown, the sun, is there any reason why those woods are harder?
It's just the cell structure of the wood.
Okay.
Yeah. And in the case of the Ipe is also very decay resistant. That's why it's used outside for decks.
So it really is good for outside applications and decks and stuff. So, okay. Correct. So Ipe and South American hardwoods are the hardest. Correct. And then what would be? Then it would be oak?
And then coming down into the domestic species, probably American hickory would be the hardest.
Oh, hickory harder than oak? Okay.
Hickory is a bit harder than oak.
Okay.
And hickory's been a real popular species for the last 4 or 5 years.
Right. Well, I like the look of hickory on cabinets, actually. Yep. So, and not as well known, but I like that. Correct. So then hickory, then?
And then you've got American oak. And, okay. and actually, to go back up, maple typically is a bit harder than oak as well.
That's true. But you know what? People don't seem to go for oak for, I mean, I'm maple. Sorry. People don't seem to go to maple for hardwood floors because it doesn't show pretty much any greening. So,
exactly.
I don't find that to be as popular. And if I show samples of flooring when I show maple, people aren't so crazy about that.
Yeah.
Is that true or not necessarily?
It is true. And maple was real popular when the more pastel-y colors were popular
some years back.
And even though it's a bit harder than oak because there's no grain, it doesn't really hide the dents and the dings like oak would.
Exactly, exactly.
Unless if you're hand scraping, it's fine. It doesn't matter.
I'm really getting an education. I should be writing this down. So it's all listen to my show tomorrow and also. It's maple, then oak.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And then the softest woods would be sort of your pine.
And then the pines, American cherries, and even American hickory is soft. I'm sorry, American walnut is soft.
Okay.
People think walnut's hard. Well, American walnut is soft, actually.
I would think walnut would be hard. Just psychologically, you think of walnut being, you know, would be a hard surface.
It's definitely on the soft end of the spectrum.
So we're out, you gather the different types of woods. What's the next process in the milling? What happens next?
Well, even before the milling is the drying. And you first, typically speaking, you'll air dry for upwards of a month or so.
A month, okay.
And then after the air drying, you'll kiln dry in an oven, essentially. And bring the moisture content down to a normal level. And that can take anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then after the kiln drying and a stabilization, then the wood is actually milled, finished, boxed, and ready for shipment.
So just for purposes, because I'm picturing the wood being cut and shipped, if you will. Mm-hmm. So they just, when you say they're air drying, is it dried outside or in sort of like a controlled environment?
Outside, almost like a stack of firewood.
Is it covered? Because I live on 5 acres out here, which is not really that much. But I harvest almost all the wood from my property because I have 80-foot trees, and one drops, and you have firewood for the season. So in cutting the wood and drying it, I know that I have to sort of protect that because you don't want any moisture to get to the wood because you want to dry out. So in this case, it burns well.
Yeah, correct. It's outside. In some cases, it's covered depending upon the species. Some cases, it's not. But it takes the initial moisture down from a certain percentage to a more manageable percentage that can actually kiln dry.
And at that point, when it's dried, it's not stripped of the bark or anything yet?
It actually is stripped already.
Oh, it's already stripped, so it doesn't have that protective outer coating.
Right.
All right.
When it's kiln dry, I'm sorry, when it's air dried, it is already sawn into planks.
So it's sawn into planks and then stacked, air dried outside.
Correct.
Okay. And then what would have happened if it was done and it didn't air dry and it went right into the kiln? Would it burn?
No, it could go that way, but the kiln drying time would be a lot longer.
Oh, that's what it is.
And the kiln drying process is expensive because you have to heat it, whereas you're benefiting from a natural drying first to get it down to a low enough moisture content that you have to then kiln dry it.
Okay.
But you really couldn't air dry it to the right point without kiln drying. You have to kiln dry.
So, and then it's in the kiln for how long?
It's in the kiln for a week to 2 weeks.
Now, these kilns must be huge.
Oh, they're like train cars, essentially. And it goes in there, and it slowly is kiln dried. If it's dried too fast, you'll get checks and cracks within the wood.
Right.
So it's dried slowly.
Is it dried at a very high temperature? Or?
Not that high, 140 to 50 degrees in that range. I mean, it's hot, but it's not oven hot.
So then the wood comes out. Then what happens next?
So the wood comes out, depending upon whether it's engineered or solids. If it's traditional 3/4-inch solids, at that point it is milled down to a finished thickness.
Okay.
The tongue and grooves are milled into the wood.
Right.
And it goes to finishing or scraping and production. If it's engineered flooring, which has a plywood base to it, then the solid planks are ripped down into wear layers, and then they are glued to the plywood core, then they're tongue and grooved as well.
Amazing.
So engineered has a different step to it.
And then ready to be shipped at that point.
Correct.
Okay, so from beginning to end, from being a tree that's growing into the forest to being ready to be shipped, how long would you say that the whole time frame would be approximately?
Wow, you're probably talking minimal 3 months.
Three months.
But the interesting thing is, once the unfinished milled floor hits the start of the pre-finish line,
right,
and it goes down the pre-finish line, and that line varies, average about 100 feet long, okay?
Right.
From start to finish, at the end, it is boxed and ready to go. It is dried, cured, ready to go.
Yeah, the end part, which is kind of neat. All right, we're going to have to go for some more commercials to pay for the show, but we will be back with more of Modern Design.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. Today we're talking all things wood, both for your floors and perhaps on your walls. And before we went to commercial break, we were talking about the whole process of taking a live tree and drying it out and milling it and going to and staining it and getting it ready. And very interesting. You did bring up something, though, during that process, that a term which we hear a lot, and I think most of lay people and myself in the beginning didn't understand, which I certainly do now, but maybe our listeners don't, the difference between an engineered wood product and a traditional wood product. So why don't you talk about the difference between an engineered hardwood floor and a true hardwood floor?
Sure. Just generically speaking, a solid floor, a true solid
hardwood floor, right,
is 3/4 inch thick normally,
right,
and it is just solid wood.
Right.
That is it. And typically it's nailed down or stapled down.
Exactly.
An engineered floor usually is thinner, and it has a plywood base to it and a thinner wear layer on top.
Right, because the finish layer of actual wood is on top.
Correct.
And then there's it could be particle board. I don't want to, but
right,
there's a lesser structure, but a different structure, and that's typically because it's going to be glued. Is that the correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And over the years, that was typically used in slab concrete base markets, whereas the 3/4 inch solid was used in nail down markets.
Exactly, because you had a wood base to do it
to
on.
To nail into.
So if you were going to do it like in a basement where you were going on a cement, then you would do an engineered product.
Correct, correct. And over the years, it's really transitioned where now, even in the Northeast area, which was typically a very heavy solid market, we probably sell, I would say, more engineered than we do sell solids.
Is that because of price point or?
No, because engineered isn't necessarily less expensive. It's
right,
because the product, A, is more stable. dimensionally.
Right.
B, it uses the valuable woods, uses less of the valuable woods in a wear layer.
Right.
And also C, because wider floors are more popular now, you can't go that wide with a solid floor. You have to go to engineering.
Right, because you need the structure, if you will.
The structure and stability.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Interesting. So you brought up a point about price, because I always like to put my guests on the spot here.
Oh.
Just because you have a wonderful product. So in terms of the wood product on the wall, is there, because this is so new, is there some sort of a range of, is it very expensive? Is it only for the wealthy, or can we all afford a little wood on our walls?
I think most of it could afford it.
Okay.
You know, typically I would estimate that an installed price for a consumer on a typical man cave type wall, if you will.
Right.
In a
Which
house,
is, a, by the way, a great application for
sure,
it.
Sure. I would ballpark it not more than about $12 per square foot.
So very
foot.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Very reasonable. And really
Correct.
Giving you something that you couldn't achieve. You know, I always talk in modern design that when you're doing your home, it's always good to have a variety of surfaces. Most of your walls, your sheetrocked walls, or plaster if you have it, should be painted with beautiful paint colors. I'm a big fan of white semi-gloss trim and ceiling white paint. Then some of your spaces should have a little bit of wallpaper for texture, and then maybe a little bit of faux painting or something like this, an application of like wood on the walls, so that you have a variety of surfaces, all with a consistent flooring and consistent ceilings. But I think this is a great application. I think this is going to be around for a while, this product.
Good. We hope so.
I think it'll evolve. It'll change with the times. The colors will change. Probably the textures and depths will change. But I think this is around for a long time. And I wanted to, believe it or not, we only have 7 minutes left, but I wanted to finish on practical applications of the product. And one is what you were saying, a man cave. And more, I don't know if it's because of all the television programs, whether that be the basement or the garage or so on. A man cave, that seems like it would be a great idea to have a wood room.
Well, the classic man cave I saw was, we have a customer that did a trial application in his house in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Beautiful house on a lake, and he has a NASCAR room. He's
neat.
Big NASCAR fan.
Right.
And in there, on one wall in the back, he had this on a wall with all the NASCAR logos and insignias on there, and it looked beautiful.
It must really look beautiful.
Real neat.
Now, do most people... I would imagine because it is wood, because of, you know, there's a cost involved to it and so on, or just because they want it to stand out. Do most people use the wood application on the walls as an accent, or do they ever do it as a whole room?
From what we've heard and seen so far, accents.
That's what I would think.
I would think a whole room would be kind of
overwhelming,
claustrophobic,
right?
If you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So one of the first applications I thought of is certainly man cave, but mm-hmm. we were talking when we were on commercial about other areas where you might want to consider going to the website and using this is perhaps formal living rooms. I have three clients right now that no longer use their formal living room. And in older homes, typically the living room was the largest room in the house.
Right.
Years later, people probably put an addition on most cases, and they have the family room in the back, but they're not using that front room. So a lot of times that formal living room gets repurposed. And several of my clients now want to turn that room into a tavern room or a bar. The two most popular applications for formal dining rooms to transition them is one into like a pub or tavern room, or two into a library, both of which I envision wood on the walls. I have a library room in my house. It's not a very big room, but I finished the walls, you know, years ago and made them dark and so on to give the look of a library. So I think your actual physical wood on the walls is a perfect application for both a library and a tavern room.
Sure. I would agree. It gives a nice warm feel as well.
Right. I think it creates something. Now, do most people, if you have wood on the walls, do they also have wood on the floor?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I always say to when I'm doing a kitchen, because I do a lot of kitchens and baths, I don't necessarily like, if there's wood on the walls and wood on the floor, I don't necessarily like them to be the same because sometimes they conflict with each other. Is there a suggestion? So if you have a whole house of oak, do you want to do something different wood-wise on the wall or a different lightness? Or is it better if they're the same in this application? Because you're only doing one wall of it. You're not doing it all the way around.
Sure. I think personally, I think both could stand on their own.
Okay.
I think it's a color preference and a texture preference, and
right.
It doesn't really matter.
If you were doing your own house, mm-hmm. what do you think that you would do?
Well, it's funny you say it because I am looking at it from my own house.
Sure.
I happen to have an old 200-year-old house
right.
myself. And the room I'm looking at it in has wide-width maple lighter colored floors in
okay,
there.
Okay, right.
And I'm looking to contrast
right.
and go darker.
See, I like the yeah. idea of contrast. I think that's nice. I think that creates visual interest.
Yeah.
But also, you're only doing it on one wall, I would imagine.
Correct.
So then you can compensate with paint colors and, you know, make
exactly.
that all sort of flow together.
Yeah.
Now, with putting the wood on the walls, is there any, what's the maintenance, or is there maintenance involved in this?
There's really no maintenance other than dusting, because again, they're three-dimensional, so you'd want to use a duster, if you will, if any dust collects, but it's a prefinished wall,
right?
So it won't pick up stains. It's a got some of a gloss to it, so it'll stay clean by itself. So just dusting. That's
so we
it.
Wouldn't have to treat it as we would a piece of wood furniture or wood floors per se. Which, you know, the difference between a wood floor and the wood on the walls is that you're not walking on it, so it doesn't have that same sort of use.
Right.
So we wouldn't have to do like a Murphy's oil soap or anything like that.
Absolutely
it's just
nothing.
Dusting.
Just dust it, and that's
okay,
it.
Okay. So you don't because people. Constantly say how much maintenance is this going to be. So
yeah.
it's nice to be armed with that
yeah.
as well.
And even we talked off show here about backsplash applications. And
yeah, other applications for it. And
sure.
that's what I first thought. And you and I both said the same thing. My backsplash in my house happens to be wainscot, and so
as,
is yours.
As does mine. As
right.
is mine. Correct.
Exactly.
And in this case, as long as the water is not splashing up on the wall panel, there's no reason why I couldn't go on a backsplash.
How is the wood finished for the walls as opposed to a finish of the floor? Is the sealers or the finishing different?
Yeah, it is different because on the
okay.
on the floors the finish is actually rolled on. It's a roller coat application.
Okay,
but because of the three dimensionality of the wall panels, it's sprayed on.
It has to be because it's of the
yeah.
variety. Okay.
It's the same end result, just different process.
If you were to use it as a backsplash, would you have to do some sort of like on a yearly basis some sort of a treatment of it?
No, not at all. The only thing you want to make sure is if it reaches your granite or your stone, needs to be caulked properly.
Right.
Where it touches it. But besides that, there's nothing to do.
Would you suggest perhaps that, which I don't like to do, but would you perhaps suggest that there's some sort of a lip or a buffer, like a 4-inch regular splash of the stone in this case, though? Maybe just as because you don't want water hitting it? Because
well,
that would sort of negate that issue, because when people are going to
right.
wipe or spill, the liquids would be in that range, maybe.
I guess common sense says yes. But
aesthetically,
I would say no.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when I started, backsplashes weren't always so popular. You know, it started with people upgrading to granite, and then now backsplashes are everything. They're fashion. And people would have their granite done. They'd be very proud of it, and they'd have me come in early on, and I'd say, okay, we're going to do your backsplash now, so I have to take off your 4-inch splash. That's gold. That's granite. You can't take that away. I paid extra for that.
Yeah.
And now people are, you know, really of the mindset that the
keep
your backsplash
clean.
Right, your backsplash stops at the where the counters end. And
sure.
Curious to thought. Other applications for the wood on the walls? Because I really like this product. I want to start seeing it out there. In fact, in the Maplewood showroom, we have a sort of a bump out, if you will. And I'd love to do it on the bump out, because I think it would really enhance the space and be kind of interesting. Do people do it on surfaces, this wood on the walls, where there's some sort of an architectural feature, or do they do it more where it's flat just to create an architectural?
It's funny you say that. That's exactly what I was thinking. I've seen in some of the shelter magazines homes where you have almost like a bar on encased area, I guess, if you will.
It would make a great bar back. I'm
exactly.
really telling you to make a great bar back. I have a client on Saturday. I'm going to bring this with me because we're going to turn her living room into a bar, and I have a niche or a big corner, and mm-hmm. how can I make that look more like a bar? This would be a terrific bar back.
Right, right. I think the key thing here is let your imagination run wild. Try it. See where it looks good.
On that note, believe yeah. it or not, gentlemen, we're out of time. I'm going to ask you one more time how my listeners can reach you.
Sure. We can be reached, again, on the web at johnsonhardwood.com.
Okay.
Or we can be called directly on the phone, the old-fashioned way, at 800-910-3047.
Well, I thank you both for being my guest today. You were a terrific guest. I've learned a lot, and I know my listeners have, too. I ask listeners to come back with me this afternoon, get out, have some terrific lunch, and walk around a little bit. Meet me back here in studio at 2 o'clock for Modern Design 2. And until I see you again, have a great afternoon, everybody. Thank you. We'll see you later.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. Pope Francis is in the United States. A red carpet was rolled out before the pontiff emerged from his plane for an official welcome from President Obama.
The presidential entourage included First Lady Michelle Obama, the Obama's two daughters, Vice President Joe Biden, and his wife Jill. It is the first time Francis has set foot on American soil. Over the next several days, the Pope has a packed schedule of events in Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. Reaction is pouring in following the death of Yankees great Yogi Berra. He died of natural causes last night at the age of 90 at his New Jersey home. The Yankees tweeted that they are, quote, deeply saddened by the loss of a Yankees legend and American hero. His family released a statement on the loss of their father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, saying, "We celebrate his remarkable life and are thankful he meant so much to so many." Baseball legend and American icon, Yogi Berra, dead at the age of 90. This is USA Headline News.
Tonight on NBC, it's the two-hour SVU premiere America will be talking about.
Gung, gung. In classic SVU style, it's ripped from the headlines.
Exactly. A wealthy New Yorker that everyone suspects is a serial killer, but can they prove it?
I bet they can. Gung, gung.
But first, it's the season premiere of The Mysteries of Laura with Deborah Messing.
Gung, gung. Sorry, wrong show.
You're out of control. The premiere of The Mysteries of Laura follows...